4:03, welcome in. It is a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM, available streaming as well at kgymradio.com. We're going to talk Indiana basketball, Iowa's opponent tomorrow at the Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana, 5:30 tonight. Zach Osterman of the Indy Star stopping by for a conversation. We will get his thoughts on the emotional return of Bob Knight to Assembly Hall over the weekend as well. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, set to join us at 4:30 tonight also. UNI in action right here on KGYM as the Panthers looking to extend that five-game Missouri Valley Conference winning streak. They take on Illinois State, the same team that handed the Panthers a 76-70 loss in the MVC opener on December 31st in Normal. And Gary's going to be with us at 4:30. Plus, coming up after 5 o'clock tonight, your opportunity to take home a $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse located on Highway 151 in Marion. Open year-round and the perfect place to do a little last-minute Valentine's Day shopping. It is February 12th. You have just about 48 hours to figure out what you're going to get the loved ones in your life. All that and your opportunity to reach out to us on the First Federal Credit Union text line, 319-366-1600. Alex, great night of basketball in the Big Ten last night, but we're actually starting with Michigan State. Michigan State football. That is, and the Spartans have their man. A lot of people say that this, once again, is a great reminder of everything that is wrong with college sports.
Yep.
Mel Tucker, just the mention of the name alone probably has some Chicago Bears fans shuddering at the moment. Mel Tucker leaves Colorado after just 1 year on the job to take $5.3 million, reportedly, at Michigan State.
I think that the first thing that came to my mind was, I think it shows how desperate of a situation Michigan State was in to find a head coach. And I say that because Mel Tucker has 1 year of coaching experience under him, or head coaching experience, I should say. He went 5-7, and they had to back up the Brinks truck just to get him to arrive on campus and to be the head coach at Michigan State. But absolutely, this is as bad of a situation as you can be in if you're the University of Colorado. And there are a lot of folks in Boulder today very upset by the way that this ended. Apparently, the players, or Mel Tucker, wanted to meet with the players and speak with them before he left, and they said that they did not want to speak with him. So It's about as salty of an ending as you could have in Boulder, and rightfully so. But Mel Tucker takes over at Michigan State. It's a huge gamble. Michigan State paying him $5.5 million to be their next head coach for a guy that doesn't necessarily have all that impressive of a head coaching resume so far. But I guess they had to do it, or else they were going to have to go with the interim direction for the entire year.
If you're Colorado, would you have allowed Mel Tucker to address his now former players? 319-366-1600. This, to me, is an entirely new level of petty. I think at least allow him to stand up.
Well, the players didn't want it.
Well, the players didn't want it. I thought this was the administration that put the kibosh on.
The players were very upset.
Okay, well,
there were many of them who went to Twitter to point out that Mel Tucker, about a year ago, when addressing the transfer portal, said, "There's no transfer portal in life." Now, this is a guy who's had three different jobs in the last three seasons. So it goes, once again, to show that Mark Emmert, what we were talking about as far as profiting off of your name, your image, and your likeness, what we were discussing with Kevin Warren and the new Big Ten commissioner's push to allow players one-time transfers, that needs to go forward, because this is another horrible example of the way the hypocrisy right now between the division of coaches and players.
I don't think there's anything wrong at all with what Mel Tucker did. And that being said, you don't necessarily have to like what he did. You can see both sides of the argument here. Not that it needs to be an argument. In the real world, you do what's best for yourself more often than not. And $5.3 million, what was he making at Colorado? Probably
right
nowhere,
around three.
Nowhere
probably.
Near that. Who am I to sit here and turn my nose up at right around $3 million, $5.3 million? The question is, at some point in time, how much money is too much money? You know, you can live happily if you've got $1 million, right?
Yeah.
But two is better than one, and three is, okay, this is $5.3 million. This is life-changing money. You can't turn that down if you're Mel Tucker. Well, you could, but you'd probably live to regret it. And so I'm not going to get upset about it at a guy taking What I do get upset about is, as you said, the NCAA's hypocrisy in allowing coaches to hop from job to job with absolutely no repercussions, and yet players continue to be punished if they want to not necessarily hop from school to school, but just leave a school and go to another one. So I don't know what you do here. Maybe if you want to get really creative with this, you tie some sort of penalty to a coach. If coach wants to leave a job and go to another, that's fine. But the school that is hiring him, I wouldn't be worried about paying a buyout. I'd be worried about a temporary reduction in scholarships for a year or something like that to make this a little bit of a deterrent. Not that the NCAA would ever go that route, but right now there's absolutely no holding a coach back in leaving after 1 year. I mean, we beat the ever-loving crap out of Todd Graham for doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
Todd Graham, who's a serial job hopper. Where's he even at now?
He got hired at Hawaii. He's the new head coach at the University of Hawaii.
Pitt and Arizona State and
Tulsa, Pitt, Arizona State, fired Hawaii. That's Todd Graham's track there. But 2139 on the First Federal Credit Union text line points out that the Twitter post that Mel Tucker released shows a lot about his personality. This is the Twitter post from February 8th. So yes, 4 days ago, while I'm flattered to be considered for the head coaching job at MSU football, I'm committed to Colorado football for hashtag the build of our program, its great athletes, coaches, and supporters. Hashtag unfinished business, hashtag go Buffs. So this was a situation where you usually see a coach gets courted by another school. They decide, I'm staying. 99.9% of the time that happens, unless Michigan State comes back with an offer that is twice the money that they clearly offered the first time, and he decides that it's too much money to pass up.
I can't get too upset with Mel Tucker. I mean, if he said no to them, if they offered him $4 million, and he says, okay, well, I make three here, and I owe it to these guys to stick around, I'm staying put. And then Michigan State says, we got to go all in. We got to get this guy. How's $5.3 million sound? This is a negotiation that I think most of us would partake in the real world, in a non-coaching job. If a company came back to you and said, well, we certainly respect your decision. You told us that you are not interested, but we are still interested in you. And here's how much more interested we are in you after a period of reflection. $5.3 million more interested. Suddenly you have my attention if I'm Mel Tucker. Now the question is, what does this mean for the Big Ten and the Big Ten East in particular? I don't know much about Mel Tucker as a head coach because he doesn't have much of a track record to go on. But if I'm Tom Allen at Indiana or Jeff Brohm at Purdue, I don't necessarily think that I'm quaking in my boots.
No, this is not moving the needle with certainly the powers that be in the Big Ten East. Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, they don't care. Because Mel Tucker right now has not proven that he's a good enough coach to recruit at that level and win at that level. He's a very good defensive mind. Who's he going to bring in as his offensive coordinator? And will he be able to recruit with those with the current situation at Michigan State? And by the way, will Michigan State be under recruiting sanctions? That's what's getting buried here. So I don't think it's moving the needle in the Big Ten, but for Michigan State and their standpoint, they just needed a coach. They were so desperate to get a coach based on the timing of Mark D'Antonio leaving and the wonder about whether or not the NCAA is going to come down on them very hard.
2746 on the text line says, do we think his job hopping is going to affect the recruiting he does next year when he goes into those athletes' homes trying to sell them on Michigan State?
It's not going to help.
It's not going to help, and trust me, there are other Big Ten coaches that if they go head-to-head with Michigan State on a recruit, they're going to use this against him. The bottom line is, if Mel Tucker can sell his program to a kid, the kid's going to come play for him. And I think you've got to be extremely naive in this day and age. And granted, we're talking about high school children here, and many of them are blissfully unaware of how the real world works. But I think you've got to be really naive in this day and age to go into Division I athletics not understanding that there's this seedy underbelly of coaches play by a different set of rules than players do, and they can leave, and you're stuck with the next guy who comes in, and then you're at the mercy of the NCAA. It's an interesting hire to me. If they weren't going to get somebody that they wanted, then they were going to be stuck with an untenable situation, in my opinion, which was having to have an interim coach not only for spring football, but possibly for the 2020 season as well. And then how do you recruit when you have an interim coach? So the real loser today, other than the University of Colorado, is Mike Tressel, who was the interim coach at Michigan State, interim in name only. There seems to be a movement afoot to lure Eric Bieniemy back to his alma mater. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Scott Unash will remind me that it's the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. What would you do if you were Eric Bieniemy? Would you stay with Andy Reid in Kansas City? Which, look at the jobs that have eventually opened up for Andy Reid's lieutenants, his offensive coordinators. Doug Peterson, right?
Correct.
Who am I forgetting?
Matt Nagy.
Sorry about that, Bears fans. Okay, you stick with Andy Reid. You seem like you're probably going to get a job sooner rather than later, although the knock on Eric Bieniemy, and I think it was Matt Verderam was on with us. I'm trying to remember which one of our NFL insiders.
We've had a few talk about Eric Bieniemy.
But one of them in particular said he hasn't interviewed well. That the knock on him 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, this was Ben Albright.
Benjamin Albright. You're absolutely right. I don't want to put words into the wrong talking head's mouth, that he hasn't interviewed well for these NFL coaching jobs the last 2 years in a row. I still think if you keep putting up numbers in that video game offense that they've got in Kansas City, somebody's going to want you to be the head coach. Now, you either stay there or you go to the college because, and I've seen people say, well, if you want to be a head coach, go someplace and prove that you can be a head coach. It's so difficult in college. It's being the head coach in the NFL and being the head coach in college is two different things. NFL, X's and O's for the most part, right? College, recruiting. College, kissing the rear end of boosters. Doing other things that aren't necessarily related to coaching football. The NFL, if you want to be a head coach in the NFL, it's not the same as being a head coach, period. So if he wants to be in the NFL, maybe he stays with Andy Reid in Kansas City, and ultimately a door is going to open for him. Maybe.
I think he's going to go to – if they offer him the job, he's going to go back.
They give him Mel Tucker money?
If they give him Mel Tucker money, if they pay him – if they offer him the job, I think he's going to go back to Boulder. I think that that's where his heart takes him. And Eric Bieniemy, I've followed his career ever since I was a kid. This is a guy who I've seen on sidelines countless times. It's just, I feel like every football game I turn on, there's Eric Bieniemy on the sidelines. And I will say he has grown a lot as a coach. You've seen the maturation level of him through the ups and the downs of him being a coach, from a running back coach to an offensive coordinator at Colorado a few years ago, which was a gigantic failure when he was the offensive coordinator under John Embry. Then he got a second chance with Andy Reid as Andy Reid's offensive coordinator. I like Eric Bieniemy a lot, and as a former Colorado fan, there's nothing. He's a larger than life figure, even though he's about 5'7". He's a larger than life figure in that program's history. I'm just not sold on him as a head coach. I'm really not, and especially like you said at the college level, where it's about relationships. It's about recruiting and doing everything that it takes to win in the Pac-12 with a program that hasn't had much success. Over the past two decades, they've had one 10-win season. They have not had a lot of success. So if I'm him, I'm staying in Kansas City and looking for a better situation in the NFL, where I have a quarterback, where I can hire a quarterback's coach and an offensive coordinator, where I can hire the best defensive coordinator I could bring in. But I don't think he's going to do that. I have a very strong feeling that we're going to see Eric Bieniemy as the next coach of the Colorado Buffaloes.
319-366-1600 if you want to join a conversation on the First Federal Credit Union text line. And while you're there, you're going to get a link to firstfedcu.com/KGYM to get details on how opening a new checking account with First Federal can land you $200. Check it out. We appreciate hearing from everybody this afternoon. Again, great program for you. Gary Rima set to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll get the lowdown on the Illinois State game tonight from Gary. Zach Osterman of the Indy Star set to join us at 5:30 tonight as well. A little bit of news out of Iowa City earlier today. Tom Brands, as well as his brother Terry and Ryan Morningstar, picking up contract extensions now through the 2026 season. The Hawkeyes have an opportunity to claim an outright Big Ten wrestling title this weekend when they host Minnesota at Carver Hawkeye Arena. If you missed anything on the gym class earlier today with Mark Ironside, you can now listen to the gym class podcast. It is available at kgymradio.com. Buttons is always really sad on Wednesdays because we don't just give out the prize. We make people win it inside the 5 o'clock face-off. So it's a little less work for him until the face-off rolls around inside the 5 o'clock hour. But we do have that $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. And before we get too far down the line, I did mention last night's insane basketball in the Big Ten. We sat here, and I say we, I took a giant dump on Nebraska, Maryland, and said this game was not going to be worth watching, and Maryland was going to mop the floor with Nebraska, which hasn't won a Big Ten road game since like 1972 or something like that. It's a two-point ball game, 72-70 last. This is the point where somebody takes me seriously and points out Nebraska hasn't been in the Big Ten since 1972. You don't save your hammer thumb. You don't need to text in. It's no big deal. 72-70 in Maryland, and suddenly another reminder that anything can happen in the Big Ten. Penn State goes and beats Purdue last night. Purdue, which showed tremendous momentum over the last week or so. And then they saved the best for last in Champaign. Game went down to the wire. Michigan State was blowing Illinois out at the half. Illinois comes back, has an opportunity to win the game in the closing seconds, and instead things go from absolute bad to worse. Because not only does Illinois lose the game, they probably have lost their best player in the process.
Ayo Dosunmu, their closer. Their outstanding point guard, off guard. It looked like a very serious knee injury. Now, I don't think that there's been any official word from the Illinois basketball program as to the prognosis of Ayo Dosunmu, but this looks to have completely reshaped the Big Ten race, because not only has Illinois hit a little bit of a rough patch with their freshman Kofi Coburn, whose effectiveness has been a little bit fleeting recently, but they lose their best player, their scorer, their go-to guy in crunch time. And I don't know anymore what to think of the Big Ten. There are good teams. These are all flawed teams. And I don't think that really any of these teams are national title contenders at this point, especially Maryland. Like, Maryland should be the cream that's rising to the top. Yes, they're at the top of the standings, 10-3 overall. But to play that way and look completely unfocused on your home floor against a terrible Nebraska team, it just makes me have pause about them. And I have that about every single team, night in and night out in this conference. And there's a lot of depth. I am not questioning that. And there are a lot of good teams. There are no great teams. And I guess that's going to make the Big Ten tournament that much more exciting.
319-366-1600. Again, the number to reach us on the First Federal Credit Union text line. A little baseball news today, because why not? The official rules are now out for 2020. The rule changes. Rest in peace to the one out, the left-handed one out guy, a.k.a. the loogies of the world. The three-batter minimum is now on the books for 2020, among other changes.
Wait, this year?
This year. And then no more massive rosters in September. I believe 28.
So he just wants to put a bunch of people out of a job. Is that Rob Manfred's platform here in 2020?
I am so over Rob Manfred. By the way, the poll last night, I mean, it was on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp. I did ask which organization would be better off if you switched leadership, Rob Manfred taking over the NCAA or Mark Emmert of the NCAA taking over Major League Baseball. I think Manfred taking over the NCAA barely edged out MLB under the direction of Mark Emmert, but I'll have to go back and double check the results. Needless to say, a lot of people said that it was either a difficult decision or not a decision at all that they wanted to make. But baseball continues to make these changes, and we're all along for the ride. Oh, we have more breaking news.
We do, and it's about something we just discussed recently. It's being reported by several people, but Jeff Goodman just tweeted, a basketball writer, just tweeted that Illinois point guard Ayo Dosunmu has no structural damage to his knee. The school announced after an MRI earlier today, and that is fantastic news for Illinois. And I'm very happy now that Illinois having a great season like this, it's not going to get completely derailed.
So we're getting good medical news on a couple fronts here,
right?
Because last night, your St. Louis Blues, there was a very scary incident in Anaheim at the Honda Center. The Blues were taking on the Ducks. This is NHL discussion for those of you who don't follow the league. And Jay Bouwmeester.
Yep.
Collapsed on the bench and suffered what essentially is a heart attack. They haven't come out and said in those specific terms. They're calling it a cardiac event, but the game was halted. It was not continued, and certainly judging by Darren Pang's reaction on the broadcast last night, there were some very, very concerned people with the St. Louis Blues organization. This is a longtime NHL vet, finally wins a cup last year with the team. And scary, I watched the video, not in real time last night, but shortly after the news hit Twitter and saw it. And I just, you know, you get a lump in your throat thinking, what did I just watch there? But according to the Blues today, he's undergoing a variety of tests. He's alert, and that's as good of news as you can possibly get, given what that looked like.
That was terrifying.
Because that looked like he dropped dead there on the bench.
Yeah, I was watching live, and they came back from a break, and they show the medical staff over near the bench and you couldn't see who it was at first. And then some, Darren Pang mentions it's a Blues player who has collapsed, and apparently he had to be revived. An AED was used to revive him on the bench. Now, the report initially was that he was alert and awake in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, but that was one of the scariest moments of me ever watching a sporting event. You're never prepared for that, and thank God for the medical staff inside the Honda Center in Anaheim that were able to take care of him and revive him from, like you said, what looked like a heart attack.
Those AEDs are literal lifesavers, and they should be a lot more common than they actually are. I lost a high school teammate of mine. We played baseball together, and he passed away. Oh man, it's almost a decade ago now. I think wasn't even in his 30s yet. Was playing softball, slow pitch softball, and collapsed and was dead. And there was no AED on site, and several of his friends back home did a fundraiser and raised some money so that they could purchase some AEDs to put throughout the community. And those are really important devices. And I think they have them at most schools now, but they're not as common as they probably need to be. And luckily, it looks like a disastrous situation was averted last night in Anaheim for the Blues, but it's going to be difficult for them maybe these next several games without him, and the thought of that in the back of their mind. It was certainly scary, and I wasn't even watching it live. I sent you the text and said, hey, are you seeing the news? You were watching the game, so you saw it in real time.
Yeah, and he's 36 years old. He's been kind of a NHL Ironman. He's played, I think, over 12 or 1,300 games, and they were saying he's in great condition, and he goes out for a shift. They replayed the entire shift that he had prior to going to the bench, and he didn't get touched. He didn't get hit at all. So the thought of, okay, maybe he got a concussion, that went out the window, and you just saw the video of him on the bench sitting down, trying to get a drink of water, and collapsing forward. So I'm glad he's alert and alive, and we'll wait to find out what the exact prognosis was, even though it looks like we probably have a good idea.
I already mentioned the Brands news today, but for those people who missed it, let's go ahead and get a big board update before we chat with Gary Rima.
The Iowa Wrestling Program announced today that they have extended the contracts of head coach Tom Brands, as well as assistants Terry Brands and Ryan Morningstar, this through the 2026 season. This comes as the Hawkeyes are 11-0 and ranked number one in the country. The Iowa basketball team is on the road tonight in Norman, set to take on the Oklahoma Sooners in a game that will get underway at 8 o'clock. The Cyclones look for their season sweep over Oklahoma as they beat the Sooners 81-68 back on January 11th, but that will not be an easy task in their first game without Tyrese Halliburton. We will send you out to John Walter's Call of the Action on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM at 7 o'clock. Coach Jacobson's UNI Panthers look for a little revenge tonight as they take on Illinois State. The Panthers' first conference game this season was a 76-70 defeat at the hands of the Redbirds in Bloomington. They're at the McLeod Center tonight, and they are heavy favorites. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m., and we're going to send you out to Gary Rima's Call of the Action on 107.5 and 106.3 FM at 6:30.
UNI opened as a 15-point favorite. I believe that has now been adjusted down to 13.5, so Illinois State getting a little run there. Oklahoma, I believe, was about a 9.5-point favorite.
Correct.
Over Iowa State, the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside providing those lines, and you'll be able to hear WagerWise brought to you by Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Elite Sportsbook coming up at 5:30 tonight. Zach Osterman of the Indy Star also on the way before 6 o'clock, but when we return, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima, lets us know how he thinks things will play out tonight at the McLeod Center between the Redbirds and the Panthers. Back with more after this.
At CPQ Hoyt Jewelers, Valentine's Day is all about the bundle, baby. Now through Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, we're bundling the love with our local romance bundle. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With any purchase of just $99 or more, we're going to throw in a beautiful box of chocolates. Now, if you spend $2.99 or more, you'll get the box of chocolates and a $50 gift card to 30 Hop. Now, are you ready for this? Spend $9.99 or more, and you get the chocolates, great, the $50 30 Hop card, sweet, and a one-hour couples massage from Hands in Harmony. Woohoo! Now that's an awesome local romance bundle. And of course, in Sidki Hoyt fashion with approved credit, you'll get 0% financing for 12 months. It's the Valentine's Day local romance bundle, and it's only at Sidki Hoyt, now through Valentine's Day.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Refresh and renew your bathroom with big savings from Menards. Add stylish elegance to your bathroom with vanities from Magic Woods Elements. The 36-inch wide Stratton vanity features a trendy gray finish with one door and two drawers that all have soft close hinges and slides for smooth and quiet operation. Just $229.99 now at Menards. Sale prices good through Saturday, February 22nd.
Save big money at Menards.
You get your sports fix on KGYM. Now, satisfy your need for smart rock on Smart FM. Just John gets you going in the morning from 6 until 10. Greg's with you middays and serves up hot and fresh smart rock on the Smart Rock Smorgasbord. And Rick's got all the best tunes for your drive home from 3 to 7. Smart FM also offers extracurricular activities on the weekends, like Live from the Soundboard and Where It's At. When you need smart rock, there's only one place to get it. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great-paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT on 107.5 FM. You can also catch the stream at KGYMradio.com. Miss anything from today's show? Head to KGYMradio.com. You can pull up the podcast and listen at your leisure. We certainly hope you'll be listening tonight as UNI gets ready to take on Illinois State at the McLeod Center, a 7 o'clock tip-off, and the voice of the UNI Panthers joins us every Wednesday in the 4:30 segment. Gary Rima set to be on the call tonight, and this is a big one at the McLeod Center tonight, Gary. UNI would love to get some revenge for that 76-70 loss earlier in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it feels like that game was a long time ago, but I don't think the players and the coaching staff have forgot that that's how we opened up a league play at their place back on New Year's Eve day and played a really good first half, guys, up 30-20. And then we give up 56 second-half points. I mean, just couldn't stop them, too many turnovers. So, yeah, absolutely, with this Panther team sitting in first place all by themselves in the league with just a one-game lead on Southern Illinois, a couple-game lead on Loyola, got to go there to Loyola on Saturday night. This is one that, for a number of reasons, you know, the revenge factor certainly, but with everything else that's on the line for this team and, you know, trying to keep that resume looking good for the NCAA tournament committee, if we don't win the conference tournament and get an automatic berth to keep ourselves in that spot where we could get an at-large. So, yeah, there's always a lot on the line when you're playing meaningful games at this time of the season.
You mentioned that resume, and it's been very impressive so far. 21-3, the win over Colorado, a true road win over a top 20 team. The black cloud hanging over it is that loss on December 31st. How much this time around is it just about being more focused going into a home game against Illinois State?
You know, I think that's probably part of it, Alex, but I just really think that the thing that this team has to keep getting better at is taking care of the basketball. Whenever we've struggled in the loss at against West Virginia and Cancun, and the loss at Southern Illinois, and we know the one at Illinois State, it was just careless turnovers, didn't take care of the basketball, and they got runouts to easy buckets. And when this team takes care of the ball and keeps the turnovers to a minimum, as well as we defend and as well as this Panther team shoots the ball, we got a great chance to beat anybody. But it's when we get careless and don't take care of the ball. So I think that's probably, when you talk about focus, that's a big focus going into this game, because one thing Illinois State does is they do defend pretty good, and they got some ball hawks. They got some guys that are really good defenders and are going to be jumping passing lanes and trying to get you to turn it over. So that's got to be a big part of the focus, not only tonight, but really I think moving forward for the rest of the season, just because I think this team's really good in almost all other phases of the game. We're out rebounding our opponent by +7. We're a really good shooting team, one of the best 3-point shooting teams, not only in the Missouri Valley Conference, but in the country. And, you know, we've got a great scorer and shooter in AJ Green, good inside play with Austin Fife. So, you know, and I do also think that a lot of it is this team just continues to take a step forward every day, get a little better every day. Don't be satisfied. And I think we should be in pretty good shape, but keep an eye on the turnover number. If that's a double digit bigger number tonight, it means that it may be a bit of a struggle.
Gary, what's the biggest difference with Illinois State and UNI since that first meeting on December 31st?
Well, I think part of it, Todd, is we got better and we built off that tough loss and figured some things out. And for some reason, Illinois State actually went the other way. And I heard Dan Mulder, their head coach, talk about it earlier this week that they didn't build on that season opening conference win. They've changed their starting lineup some now. They've actually won a couple games in a row, and they're playing some decent basketball again. But after they beat us, they just really struggled. They struggled to score. They struggled to defend teams and just kind of got into a tailspin, and looks like now maybe they're coming out of it a little bit, but they do look to be like one of the teams that's going to be locked into having to play in those first round games on Thursday at our conference tournament. They're probably going to finish somewhere in that 7, 8, 9 place. You know, they're probably going to finish ahead of Evansville, but I don't think they can get out of those games on Thursday. So, but it's just interesting, you know, the Panthers struggled in that season opening conference game. And since that point, they've gone 10-1, and Illinois State didn't do that. So it'll be interesting to see how they come into this game tonight. They have not been good on the road. They're not a team that's chalked up road wins. So that definitely plays into our favor, and the Panthers are undefeated at home. So you really got that working in Panther favor tonight in this one also.
These next 8 days, how much are they going to define the resume of this team?
I think a lot. I really think this is starting with this tonight, this is a big stretch, because after tonight, and you got to take care of business tonight, big time. You can't lose at home to this Illinois State ball club. Got to find a way to beat them. But then after that, it's Saturday night at Loyola, and then it's Thursday night at Indiana State. And both those teams are nearly unbeatable on their home court. Indiana State next Thursday, they're undefeated at home. They've been really, really good at home. And a little surprised that they got knocked off by this Illinois State ball club in their game over the weekend, because Indiana State was making a move, and if they take care of business last weekend at Illinois State, they're only 2 games back of us. And we know how tough it'll be at Loyola on Saturday night. They've got their place already sold out for that game on Saturday. We've had our struggles in there. They played us really tough at our place. They got the preseason player of the year in Cameron Crutwig. So, you know, if we would not be able to win that one on Saturday and Indiana State would have taken care of business this past weekend, we could have been going to their house on Thursday with a chance for them to jump into a tie for first, figuring that they would win their game tonight. So just, you know, a really big stretch for you and I. And somehow, some way, got to pick up a road win or two before this regular season's over. I think we got our three toughest road games left, guys. The one Saturday at Loyola, next Thursday at Indiana State, and then we finished the regular season at Drake. And I thought Drake played really good at our place on Saturday. They just, I think Darren's got a really nice team. He's got the good guards. He's got the true big man, and Liam Robbins, the 7-footer inside. That'll be an incredibly tough game to wrap up the regular season. So I'm hoping we go to Drake for that regular season finale with a 2-game lead in first place, guys. So you know, it's not super crunch time where you just have to get that win to get the one seed. But we got tough games ahead, and you know, we can talk about it. But I know the team is totally locked in on the game tonight because they know you don't want to drop this home game to Illinois State. You got to keep that momentum going, keep that winning streak going, and head to Loyola Saturday, you know, feeling really good about yourself.
Gary Rima, the voice of the Panthers, getting ready to call that game tonight at 7 o'clock against Illinois State. Which one of those two road games, Loyola or Indiana State, do you think is the stiffer challenge?
If I had to pick one, I'm going to say Loyola, mainly because of Cameron Crutwig. And I think Loyola, talent-wise, is just they're a little bit better team than Indiana State. And, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, if we lost to Loyola, we're going to go beat Indiana State. I mean, they're both winnable games, but they're both, I think, extremely tough road games too. Not only because those teams, Indiana State has not lost at home. And I think Loyola, they may be like 10-1 or 11-1 at home themselves. They just have that home court advantage, but, you know, we certainly could win them both. We could drop them both if we don't play well. They're both really, really tough. But I'd say Loyola 1A and Indiana State 1B and Drake could be 1C. I mean, guys, those are three, I think, really quality teams and just really tough places to go and get wins. But, you know, it's kind of that way across the country. I mean, look at Purdue on what they did at home with Iowa. And you know, and then they get beat. I mean, it's just so hard to anybody that goes on the road in college basketball. For the most part, if it's a decent team, you know you're in for a heck of a challenge. And I know that's what's ahead for you and I in their last three road games of this regular season.
Gary, we're just less than a month away from Selection Sunday, and I think one of the things that makes March Madness great is some of the mid-major stars that emerge, the guys that kind of emerge as superstars in the country, didn't know about them, and then all of a sudden they know about them. Have you guys, have you let the thought creep in your head about AJ Green, and is he that type of player, and is there maybe a little bit of an extra, not necessarily incentive for the team, but thought of, we need to get into the NCAA tournament so he can play in the NCAA tournament and show the nation just how good he is? Is he that kind of player?
I'm certainly biased, but I do think that's true. I mean, I think of guys like, you know, Jimmer Fredette, remember him,
right?
How he could just shoot it, and people loved, they talked about that guy, you know, you know, there's been other guys, the player that Oklahoma had a few years ago where they had, what, a 7-11 record in the conference, but they had about 18 wins, and I think the NCAA felt that team needed to be in the NCAA tournament because of that particular player was so exciting, was so good. AJ Green is that kind of talent, and he's starting to get a little bit of national attention. But there's still a lot of basketball people across the country that have no idea how good AJ Green is, how special a player that he is. I mean, he, you know, he could have played at a lot of places in Division One basketball, and there's a lot of places that wanted him, and we're fortunate to have him, and you know, had a great connection with his dad being the associate head coach. He's a heck of a talent. Ben Jacobson, and I truly trust and believe in Coach Jacobson. He said on the postgame show Saturday night after that 34-point performance, he said there are not 15 better college basketball players in the country than A.J. Green. And I think what he's saying, if I'm hearing it right, without him actually verbalizing, I think he's saying he's a first, second, or third team All-American. I mean, he's that good a player. He's one of the top 15 guys in the country. And, you know, when you see him play, and you know the defense is doing everything they can to try and not let him get 30 points, or in the closing minutes of tight games, they know he's probably going to be the guy that's going to have the ball in his hands and most likely take the shot, and you still can't stop him, that's pretty special. I mean, that's a heck of a talent. And he's one of those guys that as the NCAA looks at quality teams and quality players that would be great to have in the big dance, I think AJ certainly brings that for our team. But, you know, along with that, guys, I think we got a really good team. I think this is an NCAA tournament-worthy team. We've had other teams that we knew going to St. Louis we had to win the tournament. We didn't have a good enough resume, and the team didn't do enough to put themselves in a spot that if they didn't win it in St. Louis, that we weren't going to get an at-large bid. But this team, when I look at some of the NCAA tournament teams that have been successful, not only you and I, but Loyola when they had their Final Four run, and Wichita State when they made the run to the Final Four, and some of those good Butler teams from years ago that went deep into the tournament and to the Final Four. And I'm not saying this team can make it to the Final Four, but this is the type of team that looks like that mid-major team that has the great guard play, the good shooters, the inside game with Fife and Dahl, just enough bench to stay solid, and plays good defense, rebounds it. This is an NCAA tournament quality team that get in, and they could win some games. And they might be that, in a way, that Cinderella story. And they've got the great player in A.J. Green that people are going to be talking about. So, he's certainly, to me, a long answer to your question, but he is one of those type of guys that you would think that the NCAA would love the rest of the country get a chance to see this guy play. And he's just a sophomore. I mean, we got two more years with him after this year. And if this team could get to the dance this year, I think that really bodes well for the future. If you can get there with a little bit of a younger team and then look out after that, it can just get better and better.
Well, and if they keep winning, I have a feeling the country will see Green on that stage. Gary, we appreciate it as always and look forward to hearing that call tonight at 7 o'clock from the McLeod Center. We will touch base with you next week ahead of that big road game to Terre Haute.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And Gary Rima joins us every Wednesday here on KGYM, and you can hear that Illinois State in a UNI game tonight coming up for you at 6:30 on 106.3 FM in Iowa City and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM. Those are our two frequencies carrying you and I tonight because Iowa State, Oklahoma will be airing on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM at 7.
To me, you and I is not even a Cinderella at this point, the way that they've played this year. Colorado's the 16th ranked team in the country. They have one loss at home this season. It was to you and I. They nearly beat West Virginia on a neutral court. I think that this team has shown that they can play with the big boys, and their point guard, their star player, could have played at a lot of schools. I'm not going to say any school in the country, but he was recruited by dozens, had offers from dozens of power conference schools. So with the way that they spread it out, the way that they play, they're going to be a tough out. They just got to get in. They got to find a way, however they can, to get into the NCAA tournament, because they can win some games.
I don't know what the MVC can do to change that perception that the league is no longer more than a one-bid league after losing Creighton and Wichita State. It's like the rest of the basketball world looked at the MVC and said, well, It's not that good anymore.
Right.
It's a good basketball league, and if there's only one bid coming out of the MVC this year and UNI doesn't get it because the Panthers fail to win one more game in St. Louis at the conference tournament, then that's a problem. And I know we can discuss this till we're blue in the face about whether or not you'd rather see a middle of the tier, you know, power six team or a UNI team that, you know, is reeling off wins and is playing really good basketball. March Madness was built for teams like this UNI squad. They get the right matchup and they can be a headache for a lot of teams. And the problem is they need to get there. And it's a steep hill UNI is going to have to climb, but they can take that next step tonight by beating Illinois State. All you can do right now if you're Ben Jacobson and the Panthers, win the games that are on your schedule. And you win games, as long if they don't lose another game between now and the start of the NCAA tournament, they'll be in.
Yeah, that is true. They will be in. That
is understatement factual. Of the day, right? Hey, stick with us because coming up in the 5 o'clock hour tonight, you're going to have another chance to take home a $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. That's going to be inside the 5 o'clock face-off this evening. And Zach Osterman, our pal from the Indy Star who covers the Hoosiers, will be stopping by tonight at 5:30-ish to preview tomorrow night's Iowa road trip to the Assembly Hall. So lots more to come. Keep it right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn returns after this.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day. At Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, they understand that Valentine's Day is a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. And step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Wendy's has been showing everyone how to do fast food right for 50 years. And now they're showing them how 2-for-5s are done with Wendy's 2-for-5. It's the only one where you can get Wendy's fresh, never frozen beef and that Wendy's spicy chicken you crave. Pick 2 for $5. Choose between the juicy Dave single, the tasty spicy chicken sandwich, 10-piece crispy, or spicy nuggets. Come in today and taste how a real 2-for-5 is done. Only at Wendy's.
Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf, charming castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we'll make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, our professional parts people will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now through February 25th, get 15% off a set of brake best pads and 2 rotors. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Capital One, you can open a new savings account in about 5 minutes and earn 5 times the national average. Banking with Capital One means 5 times the savings to help pay for your perfect honeymoon.
Not a fan of ziplining!
or five times the savings toward your family's perfect vacation.
Big fan of water rides.
It's time to help make your savings goals come true. This is Banking Reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
4:58, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday night. Make sure you join us coming up tomorrow. We'll have Love It or Leave It and a full preview of Iowa and Indiana as the Hawkeyes hit the road for Bloomington. We're actually going to get a little bit of a taste of a preview of that tonight with Zach Osterman of the Indy Star. He's going to join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, your opportunity tonight to take home a $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse on Highway 151 in Marion. It's coming up in just a matter of minutes, right after the top of the hour. We'll give you an opportunity to win that gift card inside the 5 o'clock face-off tonight. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Whoever answers the most will be off to Culver's on us. A $50 gift card, your prize this evening. We'll have more details on that coming up in just a little bit. Plenty more to get to on the program today. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us at, including the First Federal Credit Union text line, as hour number two is right around the corner. We'll keep you abreast of all of the news here in Eastern Iowa. Anything pops up before 6 o'clock tonight, we got you covered. We'll be back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KZIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
SPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The NFL reinstates Browns defensive end Myles Garrett from his indefinite suspension. Garrett met with Commissioner Roger Goodell on Monday. But ESPN's Teddy Bruschi says the league needs to clarify what exactly an indefinite suspension is.
Does it mean you finish the season and then you have a meeting? Or maybe if it's a few games, it's 6 games, then I go to the commissioner and tell him how sorry I am, and he lets me back in the league.
Teddy Bruschi on First Take. Back in November, Garrett ripped the helmet off Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph and hit him in the head. Michigan State hires Mel Tucker as the school's new football coach. Tucker will leave Colorado after only one season in his first head coaching job. He'll take over for Mark D'Antonio, who retired last week. 2 Ohio State football players are now in jail, charged with rape and kidnapping. Cornerback Amir Reap and safety Jawson Wint were dismissed from the team today by head coach Ryan Day. A woman says the players sexually assaulted her last week. The 2 players will be arraigned tomorrow morning.
Coming up Thursday, what NFL player could use a fresh start and join your team? Plus, shoot, pass, slam. You could do it all and win all 3 at NBA's All-Star Weekend. Go look and Wingo. Thursday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn.
On winning teams, every player brings their unique strength that has an impact on the results. For Kevin McHale, that meant coming off the bench for the Boston Celtics. Of his almost 1,000 career games, he only started 400 of them. Yet McHale helped lead the Celtics to 3 NBA championships, played in 7 All-Star games, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
You wouldn't draft a point guard to play center, right? It's the same thing as when you're going to hire your next teammate. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interests, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to linkedin.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
5:02, it is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday, coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and the all-new Jim OT on 107.5 FM. You can get details about the Jim OT lineup at our website, kgymradio.com. While you're there, make sure you vote in today's poll question. What would you do if you were Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy? Stick around with Andy Reid or bolt to your alma mater, the University of Colorado, looking for a new head coach today with the departure of Mel Tucker for the Big Ten ranks. Got some interesting data on where he ranks as far as pay is concerned in the Big Ten. But Rob Howe, our pal from HawkeyeNation.com, sharing a tweet from Eric Epinesa. He's the younger brother of AJ Epinesa.
AJ talked about Eric a little bit when he joined us.
Okay,
that
cool.
Was on Friday.
That was on Friday when I was not here.
He's a very good athlete.
Did he share the news that he was coming to Iowa?
He did not share that news, but said that he may be the best athlete in the family. He's a really good volleyball player.
He being Eric Epinesa, one of the younger brothers of AJ Epinesa, joining the Iowa football team as a walk-on, according to his Twitter account, which will go dormant the minute he sets foot on campus. So if you bet a friend that an Epinesa would be wearing an Iowa uniform in 2020 before AJ made his NFL draft decision, you may have to find an independent arbitrator to figure out whether or not you've got to pay up on that particular wager or not, because there will be an Epinesa wearing an Iowa uniform, just not going to be AJ.
Eric turned down offers from a FCS Butler and Division II powerhouse Northwest Missouri State to take a preferred walk-on opportunity at Iowa.
I mentioned the salary data available for the Big Ten football coaches. Remember when everybody complained about Kirk Ferentz making so much money?
Oh, I mean, that's an annual thing. That's a
Ferentz makes $4.8 million. He's right in the middle of the Big Ten West. Mel Tucker is going to make $5.3 million. That is more money than Ryan Day makes at Ohio State. Think about that. Jim Harbaugh remains the highest paid coach in the Big Ten at $7.5 million a year. There is a large gulf, by the way, between the lowest paid coach in the Big Ten and the second lowest paid coach. Who do you think the poorest head coach in the Big Ten is?
Is the poorest head coach in the Big Ten...
poor and very...
Greg Schiano?
No, Schiano's making $4 million.
Oh, that's right. They paid him a lot
of money.
Hold on, hold on.
Yeah.
You're in the right division.
Right, the division. Gosh darn it! I'm blanking. Maryland's head coach,
poor Mike Locksley.
Mike Locksley.
He's trying to get by on only $2.5 million a year. Second lowest paid coach according to USA Today, Tom Allen at Indiana. Even after the raise that he got this past season, he's making $3.9 million, and that's your floor, ladies and gentlemen. The other 12 coaches in the Big Ten all make at least $4 million or more. 319-366-1600
in college sports.
Thank you. There's not enough money to pay the players. NCAA is very concerned about this. We need you to call us right now, 319-366-1600. We actually need two of you to call us. Buttons is ready to, push some buttons and get you put through to the studio here. It is tonight's 5 o'clock face-off, and you're going to be playing for a fantastic prize provided to us by our friends at Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. You can find them on Highway 151 in Marion. Despite the fact that it's a greenhouse and you think, February 12th, open year-round. Don't worry about it. Don't need to worry. Don't need to wait until the spring to use this. As a matter of fact, Culver's has a variety of Valentine's options for you, whether you want to pick up a very nice plant. Nice way to say that I love you, as long as you're the one who takes care of watering it and making sure that it doesn't die. They also have candy arrangements, other great gift ideas this Valentine's Day, and $50 can be yours if you answer more questions than your opponent tonight inside the 5 o'clock face-off. Again, the number 319-366-1600, and we have our contestants. Tom in Cedar Rapids is going to be answering Alex's questions. Matt in Cedar Rapids will be answering mine. So, Matt, hang tight. We'll let Tom and Alex determine the order we go tonight.
What do you think, Tom? You want to go first or second? All right, we're going to go first. So.
Okay, so Matt, hang tight, and we'll figure out how many we need to get.
All right, Tom, 7 questions, 60 seconds. You don't know the answer, just say pass. We'll come back to it. Are you ready?
Okay.
How many losses does you and I have in conference play?
4.
With a few exceptions, a pitcher must face a minimum of this many batters after entering a game in 2020.
Ooh, I haven't read that. Pass.
In men's basketball, how many home teams won a game in the Big Ten last night?
4.
Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is viewed as the top candidate for this college football job.
Pass.
Who did the Iowa State men lose for the remainder of the season on Saturday?
I don't know his name. Pass.
What is the record of the St. Louis Battlehawks?
1-0.
Very good. Caw-caw. What breed of dog won this year's Westminster Dog Show?
Yorkie.
Good guess.
And I'll circle back. Oh, that's my fault. In what?
It's all right. I felt bad for putting the Westminster Dog Show question on there, but we'll see. Wait, hold on, Tom. I've seen one win before. So, Matt, the pressure is all on you now because it's bad enough when the timer's ticking in the background, but now you know you just need to get 2 right answers. So, when you're ready, I will read your first question. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Who does Northern Iowa play tonight in men's basketball?
Illinois State.
Correct. What Iowa head coach got a contract extension today?
Lisa Blitter?
Nope. New Michigan State coach Mel Tucker came from what Pac-12 school? The NFL reinstated this player today after he served a 6-game suspension to finish out last year.
Myles Garrett.
Correct. What team did the Pocota rankings predict will win the National League Central this year?
Cincinnati Reds.
Correct. What former AL Central star did the Chicago Cubs sign to a minor league deal yesterday?
Jason Kipnis.
Correct. And what Illinois star basketball player was injured last night in their game against Michigan State?
Pass.
It's all just gravy on the mashed potatoes at this point. It's a deciding a win for Matt and Cedar Rapids tonight. 4-1 inside the face-off. Tom, we appreciate you listening, and better luck next time. Matt will put you on hold, and Buttons is going to get that $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse on its way to you here in Cedar Rapids. Again, you can find Culver's on Highway 151 on the east side of Marion. We started off really good there. Tom Brands was the Iowa head coach who got a contract extension today. Lisa Blitter keeps it up. She'll be in line to get yet another one. Mel Tucker comes to Michigan State via Colorado. The last question, Io DeSumo, the Illinois star player who was injured on the final play of the game last night as Michigan State escapes Champaign with a 70-69 win over the Fighting Illini.
Let it be known that Tom knew the answer to what is the record of our St. Louis Battlehawks.
And you know what? We should have just given him the darn gift card.
1-0, baby.
Apologize Woo! To Matt. Just cut him off, hang up, and just say, hey, he answered the only question that really matters to you and me.
How many losses does you and I have in conference play? 2. One was to Illinois State, the team they play tonight. A pitcher must face a minimum of this many batters after entering a game in 2020, with a few exceptions. The answer is 3.
Caw-caw!
In men's basketball, how many teams won a Big Ten game last night? 1. Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy is viewed as the top candidate for this college football job. What school did he go to? He was a star at the University of Colorado. Who did the Iowa State men lose for the remainder of the season on Saturday? Their outstanding point guard and NBA prospect Tyrese Halliburton, and what breed of dog won this year's Westminster Dog Show? Turned out to be the Standard Poodle.
Congratulations to the Standard Poodle, the best in show at the Westminster Dog Show this year. Madison.
So not a Labradoodle?
Nope. The rest of you mutts are out of luck. It's the Standard
Poodle.
The
Standard Poodle.
Who is reigning supreme. They win a lot of awards, the Standard Poodle. That's the big, full-size, not your little teacup.
Didn't we have somebody on who raised a dog that won the Westminster Dog Show a couple of years ago?
You're testing the limits of my memory, but yes, we have had Westminster Dog Show related content on the program for our listeners in Eastern Iowa.
See,
before
that was when you and Tyler were on the air, and I just remember you guys being way too excited about that. They don't work very hard, but you guys were elated to have that particular woman on the air.
This is the show that strives to bring a little bit of something for a little bit of everybody here in Eastern Iowa. Your hardcore X's and O's sports people, they probably don't really appreciate some of the things that we do here. Maybe we pay a little bit too much attention to the St. Louis Battlehawks and the XFL.
Caw-caw.
Thank you. That's just, we're going to have to work that in from time to time. We should do that right in the middle of Zach Osterman's interview tonight and see if
we're going to hear from his dogs?
Realizes. The dogs, he's got a kid now.
Okay.
So we could hear the dogs, we could hear the kids, or who knows what type of arcane reference he will make tonight. Something about the French Parliament. Who knows? So 514-319-366-1600. We will take a quick break, but before we do that, I'm going to get you a big board update here with Alex.
The Iowa State basketball team is on the road tonight in Norman, set to take on the Oklahoma Sooners in a game that will get underway at 8 o'clock. The Cyclones look for the season sweep over Oklahoma as they beat the Sooners 81-68 back on January 11th. But that will not be an easy task in their first game without Tyrese Halliburton. We're going to send you out to John Walter's call of the action on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM at 7 o'clock. The Iowa wrestling program announced today that they have extended the contract of head coach Tom Brands as well as assistants Terry Brands and Ryan Morningstar through the 2026 season. The Hawkeyes are 11-0 on the season and ranked number one in the country. Coach Jacobson's UNI Panthers look for a little bit of a revenge tonight against Illinois State. The Panthers' first conference game this season was a 76-70 defeat at the hands of the Redbirds in Bloomington Normal. They're at the McLeod Center tonight, and they are heavy favorites. Tip-off is set for 7, and we're going to send you out to Gary Rima's call of the action on 107.5 and 106.3 FM at 6:30.
And congratulations to Iowa City native Ashley Jones, the sophomore standout at Iowa State, one of the top 10 finalists for the Cheryl Miller Award this year, which goes to the best small forward in the college women's college game. That is that award won by Bridget Carlton last season. So could be two Iowa State winners in a row this year. And yes, thank you. 6497 responding on the First Federal Credit Union text line when I said there was a little bit of something for everybody in Eastern Iowa. 6497 says, except humor. 319-366-1600 is the First Federal Credit Union text line. You can use it to take shots at us. Say whatever you want to. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother Alex. It bothers Buttons tremendously. He's going to go home tonight, and he's going to have a very hard time sleeping. He takes the text line and the criticism very seriously. We tend not to here. We'll step aside and take a quick break. We have WagerWise on the way for you, courtesy of the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, Iowa, the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. And then after WagerWise, we'll catch up with Zach Osterman of the Indy Star, Bob Knight making a triumphant return to the Assembly Hall this past weekend. And unfortunately, Purdue wound up winning that game, stealing a little bit of the thunder. But Indiana heading in the wrong direction as the Hawkeyes come to town tomorrow. We'll get Zach's thoughts on that game and more. It's all on the way before 6 o'clock. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, after this.
At CPQ Hoyt Jewelers, Valentine's Day is all about the bundle, baby. Now through Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, we're bundling the love with our local romance bundle. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With any purchase of just $99 or more, we're going to throw in a beautiful box of chocolates. Now, if you spend $2.99 or more, you'll get the box of chocolates and a $50 gift card to 30 Hop. Now, are you ready for this? Spend $9.99 or more, and you get the chocolates, great, the $50 30 Hop card, sweet, and a one-hour couples massage from Hands in Harmony. Woohoo! Now that's an awesome local romance bundle. And of course, in Sidki Hoyt fashion with approved credit, you'll get 0% financing for 12 months. It's the Valentine's Day local romance bundle, and it's only at Sidki Hoyt, now through Valentine's Day.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Okay, guys, Valentine's Day is...
Wow, February 14th. That's soon.
So get it together because she's expecting something good.
And by good, I don't mean last-minute flowers from the gas station.
I'm talking about something that treats her right, pampers her, and makes her feel special. Like basically anything from Elevate Salon and Spa. They have all kinds of Valentine gift ideas. Massage, facial, manicure, pedicure. And if you can't decide, an Elevate gift card gives her lots of choices. Stop by Elevate Salon and Spa, Edgewood Road and Blair's Ferry Road.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
KGYM is here to cover everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. This is WagerWise, sponsored by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
And very pleased to be once again joined here on the KGYM airwaves by Jake Reed, who's the manager of the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. And Jake, before we get into some of tonight's games, you and I, Iowa State in action, I'll get your thoughts on the XFL, but big news at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. There's another way that folks can now load their accounts, right?
Yeah, we've had some slow start to getting going with the Elite Sportsbook and how to fund your online account. Ultimately, we like to come down to the casino and deposit at the cage and see us there, but there is debit card allowed access to the online website now, so you can deposit through Sightline still on your Play Plus card to your Elite Sportsbook account.
So you get all loaded up for all your action, and you don't even have to leave the comfort of your own home. What any big events coming up that you'd like the folks to know about?
Coming out of the Super Bowl, we had a great turnout for the Super Bowl. I think we touched on that. Riverside Ruckus coming up in the first round of March Madness. We'll have that in the event center. There is free entry, but it's not as comfy as the VIP section. The VIP section is $64 per person. You get free food throughout the day and three free drink tickets. And we have a betting window right there. So, yeah, have everything all in one spot.
And for boxing fans, you will have the Wilder Fury 2 fight, correct? That'll be on next Saturday.
Yep, that's coming up. It's our first boxing match that we've had in the Elite Sportsbook. UFC fights have been so on the turnout, so we're hoping to have guests come down and enjoy a boxing match with us.
All right, so the big question that we've got for you this week is, what was the reaction like with the debut of the XFL last week? Did you get folks putting some action in?
So I had people all over the board. With it being so new, we had people that just wouldn't bet it because they didn't understand. They didn't know what was going to happen. We had some people that didn't think the line's going to be close, so they bet the under on every game. And I had someone bet the over on every game in parlays. So a lot of just sporadic betting because nobody really knew what to expect. I think a lot of people were intimidated by it being brand new rules, new league, everything like that. Going in, there was a lot of excitement watching it, but just not a whole lot of betting on the week one of it. So we're going to see maybe this weekend get a little more action. It was a little more exciting than I kind of expected, to be honest. So we'll see what happens.
How interesting is it when it's so chaotic like that, when nobody knows what to expect? Odds makers at times, they have a little bit of information, but they don't know what to expect, and you're just kind of flying blind.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting in there, I'm like, I don't know how the odds makers come up with these lines. I mean, they can kind of base it off NFL and college football, which is pretty similar, and they have a little bit of knowledge on some of the players, so they kind of go off of that. But, yeah, without people just didn't know what to expect with that, and even, some people took advantage of that, thinking that the odds makers didn't have anything to go off of, so this would be the best for them to bet. So kind of just like every other bet, it's all luck, whatever side you choose.
I noticed one thing this week, the totals seem to be a little bit lower week two than they were in week one.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people that thought it was going to be a whole different atmosphere with a change of rules. And I think that now that we've seen a game going forward, they still might not be 100% accurate because we only have week one. I personally feel watching it that I think it was a lot of players getting in their mindset and trying to get going for this season of theirs. So I think that we'll see an increase in play this next weekend, if I were to take a guess.
Jake, let's get into some of the games tonight going on in the state of Iowa, and we're going to start with Iowa State. Their season is circling the drain. It wasn't going well to begin with. They're 10-13, but they found out they're going to be without their best player, Tyrese Haliburton, for the rest of the season, and he could be headed to the NBA after the season. They beat Oklahoma earlier in the year, but they have to go on the road to Norman, and they are a heavy underdog in this game.
Yeah, their team, they've hit some rocky points. They're plus 9.5. We got about 52% betting on them still, even though the looks of them. And then 73% on the under of 143.
How about in the Missouri Valley tonight? UNI is at home at the McLeod Center. UNI has been a covering machine this year, I think. The best in men's college basketball. A 13.5-point favorite over Illinois State, a team that beat UNI back on December 31st.
Yeah, UNI is a huge favorite in this match. Minus 1,400 on the money line. Got him at minus 13.5. Only have 58% of people think that 13.5 can be covered, but quite a bit of action on that money line, even though it's so high. 60% on the over of 138.5. I think that UNI can keep going. Maybe that 13.5 is a little high, but maybe it's nothing for him. Who knows?
All right, Jake, great stuff. And as we part ways with you once again, people can now use their debit cards to load their accounts at the Elite Sportsbook.
Yeah, and if anybody needs help with setting anything up or making an account, just come on down to Riverside, get signed up at the Resort Club desk, and then we can help you in the sportsbook get going.
Yeah, details available at elitesportsbook.com. Jake, thanks a lot. We'll talk with you next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
A couple other games of note. Alex, in the Big Ten tonight, Rutgers is in Columbus at Ohio State. Buckeyes are a 5.5-point favorite. And Michigan visits Northwestern, and the Wildcats are getting 5.5 points at home. In the Big 12, other than Iowa State, Oklahoma, you've got Kansas going to West Virginia. And the Mountaineers.
That's a big-time matchup in that conference.
Mountaineers are favored by 1.5 points in that game tonight.
Very interesting, because West Virginia this season at home has been dominant. They have not, I don't believe they've lost a game in the confines of their home arena. And now they get a huge test. A top three team, a team right at the top of the Big 12. I think West Virginia has a good team. And Kansas, when they have lost this year, it has been away from Allen Fieldhouse. They've had some really, really ugly performances on the road this year, and they've all been against pretty darn good teams.
It's another great night of basketball in the Missouri Valley Conference. We mentioned UNI hosting Illinois State. The total on that game is 138.5 points. That is less than the 76-70 final score in Normal back on December 31st. So keep that in mind if you're looking to play the total in that game tonight. You and I, a heavy favorite, minus 1,400 on the money line. So you'd have to lay a significant wager just to get you and I to win outright. Bradley is at home hosting Indiana State. The Sycamores are a little bit of a different team away from the Holman Center. That's why Bradley is a 5.5-point favorite in that contest. And Drake, fresh off a loss to the Panthers over the weekend, remains on the road. They're at Missouri State tonight. That's a really tight one. Missouri State favored by 2 in that contest.
That one intrigues me.
Valpo hosting Southern Illinois. The Crusaders, a 4-point favorite there. Drake or Missouri State? Which side?
Missouri State's a 2-point favorite, but I get that they're at home and they have talent, but they're not a great team, and they have not been playing like a great team. They have been playing a little bit better as of late. I think Drake has a nice all-around basketball team. Darren DeVries, I can't overstate the job that he has done there. I think there's a chance they come up with an upset on the road against a Missouri State team.
Todd Licklider's Evansville Purple Aces still looking for their first win in the MVC, an 8.5-point underdog at home tonight against Loyola. So lots of action in the MVC and some pretty good games around the rest of college basketball. Shout out to Lone Tree native Steve Forbes. His East Tennessee State squad tonight's a 21.5-point favorite playing at home against the Citadel. Creighton is at Seton Hall tonight, and Creighton's getting 6 points on the road there if you want to back Greg McDermott's squad. And Butler at home taking on Xavier. The Bulldogs, a 5.5-point favorite there, and that should be a great contest as well. So there's some good college basketball tonight as we wait for tomorrow's Iowa-Indiana game. No line yet out on that contest.
Those two matchups in the Big Ten are intriguing. The thing about the Big Ten right now, it's just so darn wonky. You don't know what's going to happen night to night. And last night was one where the entire landscape of the conference race sort of changed in that Illinois and Michigan State game. So Rutgers going on the road to Columbus. That's the one I have my eye out on, but Rutgers has been scuffling just a little bit. Ohio State, can they cover that spread at home? That's the one I'm going to be watching.
And we can't end this segment without reminding everybody that our beloved St. Louis Battlehawks are once again a heavy underdog on the road at Houston on Sunday. St. Louis is getting 8 points, the total in that contest, the highest of the 4 XFL games this weekend. The over-under set at 51. You can get all the details about placing your bets online or in person by visiting EliteSportsbook.com.
WagerWise on KGYM is a paid presentation brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Check them out at EliteSportsbook.com.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to Wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide, or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
I'm Joan from Culver's. We're talking about Valentine's Day. Love encompasses everyone in your life. The gift shop is full of amazing things right now. The children's clothing line, cute little planters, food items you can put together for a gift basket, jewelry that you can't find anywhere else in the state of Iowa, heart-shaped candy boxes, but instead of putting candy in it, we put little plants in it. It's all right there. You don't have to go anywhere else except for right there to Culver's. Culver's Garden Center, Highway 151, East Marion. Come out and see us.
Welcome back in the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM, streaming online as well at KGYMradio.com. Looking ahead to Iowa and Indiana tomorrow night at the Assembly Hall in Bloomington. Should be a good game. Hawkeyes with 7 games left on the schedule. 7 quad 1 games at the moment. And that journey to whatever lies ahead for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes starts tomorrow night in the state of Indiana. Joining us now to preview that game and more, Zach Osterman of the Indy Star, one of our favorite Big Ten guests to have on the program. And Zach, before we get into Indiana and Iowa tomorrow night, take me back to the Assembly Hall this past weekend and the return of the legendary Bob Knight. When did you guys get the sense that this was going to happen, and what was it like to be in the building when it did take place?
It had been building, sort of slowly for a while. Knight has largely stayed out of the public eye since he left broadcasting, I want to say in 2015, but he's maintained some speaking engagements in Indiana. And while he said some things, you know, like I think he told Dan Patrick he'd never return back in 2017, but around that same time, it also felt like he started really going out of his way even more to sort of praise IU fans, talk lovingly about his former teams, find ways to more directly kind of talk positively about his time at Indiana. And then in April of last year, he just, it wasn't a surprise to the small handful of people that knew, but obviously the general public, turned up to an IU baseball game, watched a few innings of that. He moved back to Bloomington over the summer. And I think by that point, there was very much a feeling it wasn't like anything was confirmed, but if you talked to his former players, if you talked to his former players, you got the sense that they all felt it was just a matter of time. If you talked to people at Indiana, they were very much preparing, not necessarily because they'd been told, but simply because they wanted to be ready in case he did return. And then, you know, there were rumors he'd be at the Ohio State game January 12th. Those wound up not coming true. But I think about maybe a week and a half to 2 weeks before the Purdue game, word started to get around to some of his former players that if they wanted to see him, he was planning to attend. And so it was something where I think Indiana certainly didn't feel like it was going to know for sure until he walked in the building. But it had been kind of slowly gaining momentum for a long time. And obviously when something like that happens, you know, it kind of does come to fruition. It was remarkable. It's hard. Knight is a very complex character. He has a lot of layers and he obviously invokes a lot of strong opinions in different directions. But, you know, to have that moment, given the history, the backstory, his success, again, the complexity of kind of his character and legacy, I just don't know if it's something we're going to see again. It was very emotional, clearly, for him. It was emotional for his players. It was emotional for a lot of Indiana fans. And, I don't think anybody around here really took seriously any kind of Bob Knight curse. But I think it was a moment that allowed anybody who needed it a measure of closure or catharsis, really, after obviously a long estrangement.
You mentioned that he's somebody that brings out a lot of opinions, a lot of differing opinions about the way that he coached. Were there a lot of differing opinions about him coming back, or was it mostly positive in that they can bury the axe and get past anything that any rift between the school and Bob Knight?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the big thing for, I guess the best way I could, the joke I've kind of made is that if you could somehow pull a cross section of Indiana fans before Knight came back, I said you would have gotten, you know, a series of answers a little bit like the French Parliament. There would have been 8 or 9 different distinct factions. I think the average fan, though, had probably come to a place where they didn't really bear a ton of ill will toward Knight. And if he ever wanted to return, they would be more than happy to see that. It just wasn't something that anyone was terribly obsessed over anymore. And that, again, that doesn't, I don't want to, fan bases, you know, almost never speak as one mind or think as one mind. You don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. But I think, broadly speaking, it had gotten to a point. I mean, listen, I've been around Indiana basketball for 15 years now in some form. There was a time when Knight's shadow really did, kind of loom over this program in a very real and substantial and probably damaging way. I think that has lessened as time has gone on, probably considerably. But I think that, you know, there were always going to be factions of the fan base that really, really wanted that moment. And there were also going to be factions of the fan base that, as I said earlier, you know, maybe felt it wasn't something they needed, but it would be something they would be happy to cheer for. They would be happy to see. And so I think, again, anyone who wanted it, anyone who needed it, you know, gets that moment, and now everybody can just sort of move on.
And you can read what Zach had to write about Bob Knight's return at theindystar.com. Zach Osterman joining us, previewing tomorrow night's Iowa-Indiana game at the Assembly Hall. These two teams have something in common, Zach. Their most recent loss was a bad loss to Purdue. What happened in that game? Indiana looked okay in the first half, and then Hoosiers wind up with 14 turnovers and extend that game losing streak to four games.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, talking about the Purdue game specifically, it was kind of a little bit of a microcosm of what's gone wrong with Indiana the last couple of weeks, which is this team, which was always a little bit fragile because it has not been able to translate any good performances on the road except for its trip to Nebraska. But this team has just really gotten away from doing what it does well. This was a team that was winning when it was winning earlier in the year because of the way it defended, the way it rebounded, the way it closed off the rim, the way it used its big ball lineups to really create some mismatches and some size advantages at both ends of the floor. And, you know, kind of the things that you need to lean on those sorts of strengths, you know, and getting to the free throw line, aggressiveness, intensity, energy, the stuff that all sounds like a cliche coming out of a coach's mouth. But of course, if, you know, anybody who plays sports understands that you have to marry that to a scheme or a game plan to make everything work. It's not been able to, for whatever reason, Indiana's kind of disconnected from that. And when they've done it away from home, you've sort of looked at it and said, well, you know, this is a team that just struggles to put it together on the road. But to do it at home against your rival, whatever the circumstances, you know, I don't think if you're Indiana, you look at that and say, win this one for Bob Knight, but you're at home against your rival in an important game in February, you know, the business end of the basketball season. To lose that, to never really be able to corral that, Purdue was in control for most of that game, is a concern, because this is almost never going to be a team that can shoot its way out of trouble, that can score its way out of trouble. That's just not how it's made up. And if Indiana can't kind of reconnect to what makes it a good team, to what gives it matchup advantages against anybody, then, you know, we could be talking about a season that is kind of spinning out of control a little bit.
It's interesting because you look at their resume and they have some really, really good quad one wins. You think about Florida State in the non-conference, they have a win over Michigan State, and they've put together a nice resume early on, but not that they have bad losses. They've lost four in a row. They're squarely on the bubble is what I'm trying to say. These last eight games, how urgent does this team need to play at? Because four games on the road and then two of the four home games are against top 25 opponents. So it's a tough road for them to get in the NCAA tournament at this point.
And it's been that way basically since they beat Nebraska. You know, the sort of, you know, the two sides of the coin were, number one, I think once Indiana had crossed the Nebraska game off, it had at that moment anyway the most difficult schedule remaining in the country per Tim Pomeroy or the Net, one of the computer rankings. The flip side to that was obviously that every win would be a quality win, and that everything that Indiana managed to pick up from that point forward would be good for their resume, and anything Indiana didn't pick up, any game Indiana dropped, probably wouldn't be that bad for their resume. But you are getting into a point, you know, you mentioned two of your four home games are against ranked teams. After Iowa, four of the next five are on the road, where again, Indiana, if you remove the Nebraska game, the other five road games they played, they've lost by by an average of almost 14 points. I think it's 13.8 points per game. And none of those games were particularly close in, you know, let's say the last six, seven, 8 minutes. So none of those performances are ones you could really kind of hang your hat on long term. You know, it's that kind of classic cliche, if the tournament started today, I think Indiana would be in it, probably with a little bit of comfort, 9 seed, 10 seed, somewhere in there. But you can look at the direction of the season and say that if Indiana can't start reversing this results trend at home, then it could get complicated kind of quickly for the Hoosiers. And I think that that's what makes Thursday night feel a little bit like a must win, unless this team just suddenly magically starts performing on the road in a way that, frankly, it hasn't all year.
Zach, what's the public sentiment toward Archie Miller at the moment there in Bloomington?
It's frustrated. I don't think anybody would deny that. I think, you know, the reasonable sections of the fan base understand that you can't be making reactionary judgments in year three. And it's funny. I've told this story a couple of times. I think I even wrote it in a mailbag yesterday. When people ask me kind of in Archie's first months on the job, just from my perspective, how big of a job I thought he had on his hands, I said it seemed pretty big. He was going to lose 3 guys to the NBA draft process. He inherited 5 seniors, and then he had 2 kids transfer within his first 12 months on the job. So within his first 12 months, he lost 10 scholarship players. And, you know, one of those kids, I think, transferred of his own volition. One was certainly has come out and said since that he kind of felt like he was pressured into it. But one way or the other, you know, 8 of those 10, at very least, were basically beyond Archie's control. And I said, that's a total roster rebuild. Like, you can't build around seniors in your first year. All you can do is ask them to be, you know, committed and just kind of stick with you and set some good habits and set good examples. When I told people, you know, this is going to be a long-term thing, they, you know, everybody kind of nodded and said, yeah, that makes sense. And then Indiana landed Romeo Langford and started 12-2, and everyone thought the rebuild was over. This season is undeniably affected by last season and the way that that season just kind of spiraled out of control due to injuries as much as anything else. But I think that it's fair to say Indiana fans are frustrated. I think certainly the average fan would feel that if this season ends in the NCAA tournament, regardless of what that looks like, that will represent progress. I think there's an understanding that long-term, you know, Archie's got to get to a place where his rosters are built to be a little bit more consistent than this team has been, certainly, especially at the offensive end of the floor. And it is important to note, you're still talking about a team that's only got 4 juniors and seniors. And so it's a team that's still fairly young in that respect, even though some of your sophomores have played a little bit. And obviously by this point in the season, a freshman like Trace Jackson Davis has played enough that you don't really quite consider him a freshman anymore. But the broader point I'm trying to get to in this is, I think it would be reasonable to say it is too early for snap judgments. And it is too early for kind of reactionary thinking. That doesn't mean that fans shouldn't be frustrated. That, Lord knows, I watch this as closely as they do, if not more so. I can see why people are frustrated night to night. But in a job, especially like Indiana, patience has to be a virtue, and you have to kind of take the long arc view of things. And that can't include just kind of, you know, flying over the waterfall in year 3.
Zach, I've talked about the landscape of college basketball and how programs can either sort of the programs at the top will accept one and dones and bring those 5-star recruits in, and then you see more developmental programs. It's always seemed to me like Indiana sort of last 5 years has been kind of caught in the middle. They have some one and dones, and I think that kind of at some point halts any momentum that they have because they don't have those building blocks. Is Trace Jackson Davis a guy that may stick around and be a building block for this program?
Indiana really doesn't have much of a one-and-done culture. I mean, it had Eric Gordon, Noah Vonleh, Romeo Langford, but, you know, it's not – if you look back at kind of the history of the one-and-done rule, Indiana has never been a program that has really tried to make those players a centerpiece. It's not like it hasn't tried to recruit and sign some of those guys. It's obviously landed a few of them, but it's not – It's never been a program that tried to be like a Kentucky or a Duke. That said, it's a program that still, like many others, has a lot more success when it has McDonald's All-Americans like Trace Jackson Davis on its roster. It's obviously, you know, early yet to know what Jackson Davis will be thinking about the NBA process after the season. You would be surprised if he didn't at least declare and go through the process, get some workouts, get some feedback, figure out where things stand. I do think he would be the kind of player that it would make a lot of sense to see him take at least one more year in college. He's a very good post player, but I think he's still raw in some areas. He still doesn't really have much of an offensive game away from the basket, which of course is something that is going to be really important for someone of his size in the NBA. He's a good rim protector, but I think he can get even better there. And I think that if he stays, then you also get a little bit of what Cody Zeller got by staying for his sophomore year, which is a team that's even more built around you and an opportunity to kind of show that you can be not just, you know, you not just have some of the skills that the NBA is looking for from bigs, but that you can also handle the workload, that you can handle, you know, you can kind of shoulder the pressure and the expectation and the spotlight and those sorts of things. So, again, you never know. Some kids get there and they just think, hey, I want to go. This has always been my dream. And I'm, you know, frankly surprised when guys don't declare at this, you know, in the current climate. But I could very much see him being a guy that, you know, takes at least another year. And I think that would be very good for Indiana as well, because it would allow Indiana to really kind of keep growing this young-ish roster around him as one of his centerpiece players.
Zach, before we let you go, best guess as to what we're in for tomorrow night?
You know, I mean, I've seen Indiana play so poorly these last three games. It's hard for me to pick Indiana to win. On the other hand, it is going to be a little bit of a desperate situation for Indiana and Assembly Hall, you know, night games against ranked teams when that is kind of what's on the table tends to show up, you know, in a way that, I mean, listen, the fans didn't have a lot to cheer for on the floor on Saturday, but I've also always felt like if Bob Knight returned for, you know, like a Big Ten game as an example, Indiana might struggle to really have a lot of emotion in that game because so much of it would just get sucked to what was happening, you know, outside the confines of the game. I think that, I mean, you know, it's one where it just feels to me like I've seen Indiana play well enough at home enough times to think that they're going to snap out of this. But I think you'll also know pretty quickly whether Indiana's got the ability to do that, because if you don't see Indiana really locked in on defense, really cleaning up the boards, maybe sharper holding on to the basketball, just turnovers killed this team at times, certainly recently, but just in general this season when they played poorly. If you see kind of any of those marker points sagging for Indiana, that's when I think you can feel pretty confident that Iowa's going to be in the driver's seat the whole night.
Always a pleasure, Zach. We appreciate it. And folks can catch the Hoosier Perspective at IndyStar.com. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Zach Osterman of the Indy Star. And after watching Maryland and Nebraska last night, your guess is as good as mine. I tell you what, they could do probably one of those million-dollar bracket challenges this year, not with the NCAA tournament, but if you get the entire Big Ten tournament bracket correct, you should get $1 million. Because I don't think there's anybody out there that can tell you with any certainty what's going to happen at the conference tournament this year. And I said last night, hey, easiest game on the slate. We didn't even put it on the poll question which one of the three games was most intriguing. We left off Maryland and Nebraska. Fred Hoiberg and the Huskers almost knock off Maryland on the road last night. Anything can. I still think Maryland is the best looking team in the Big Ten, but man alive, we're at the point where anything can happen. And you get the vibe there from Zach that everybody talks about Kinnick Stadium and ranked teams at night. Well, he just said Assembly Hall, ranked teams coming in for big night games. So maybe there's a little bit of mojo there, like Iowa football has at Kinnick Stadium. I don't know whether we're going to get a good game tomorrow night or not.
I don't either, because last night in the Big Ten was sort of one that changed the entire trajectory of the race, right? You look at Illinois. They lose their best player late in that game in Io DeSumo.
Heartbreaking.
And it is heartbreaking. And where do they go from here? Do they kind of spiral out of control? Because DeSumo this year has been their closer. He's been their heartbeat. And when they needed a big bucket, he gave it to them, and he's all of a sudden out for the season. And Michigan State bounces back. They get a big road win. Penn State goes on the road and completely shuts off any momentum that Purdue had. Maryland looks terrible at home against a really bad Nebraska team. Your guess is as good as mine.
Iowa can't afford to sleepwalk into Bloomington.
No.
Indiana's capable of winning. I think Iowa can win that game tomorrow night. Don't get me wrong. But they need to be on their toes. And you heard Zach say there, we'll know early on whether or not Indiana is going to be competitive in that game or not. The Hoosiers cannot afford to let this four-game losing streak turn into a five-game losing streak. And you want to see danger, you back a rat or an animal into a corner. And that's Indiana right now. They sort of are backed into the corner here. They need wins, and they need this win in particular. So it should be a great game tomorrow night.
Everybody in this conference, really outside of Northwestern, and I say Nebraska, even though they pushed back a little bit against...
Yeah, they're still not good.
Maryland, is capable of having a really good performance. And that's the scary part, because there are a lot of good teams, but every single team in the Big Ten is deeply, deeply flawed. And you see that from time to time. You see a really good performance, and then you see a dud. And that's pretty much what every single team in this conference looks like from 1 through 12, and you just don't know on any given night what you're going to see. And that's why it just is so unpredictable at this point, and there's not a lot of separation at the top or even through the middle.
We'll wrap it up here. When we return, we'll let you know what's in store on a Thursday edition of Local Programming, which kicks off at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes tomorrow. Back with more after this. More after this.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
This is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, and we want to help your house feel more like a home with some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.23%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard, the bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how GEICO not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to GEICO is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you ordered some wipers online with our free same-day store pickup? No problem. We'll grab those for you so you can get back on the road. You know, we also offer free next-day delivery. You just order what you need on AutoZone.com by 10 p.m. and we deliver it to your front door the next day. It's perfect for those projects that can wait until tomorrow. Getting your job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible items on orders over $35. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
5:56, welcome back in, and we bring you back with some good Big Ten basketball news. Io DeSumo, most likely in better shape than we thought. Illinois announcing that there was no structural damage to that knee, which he suffered the knee injury on that final play of last night's loss at home to Michigan State. No timetable yet on a return for him. You have to assume he's going to miss some time, but the structural damage part rules out the immediate need for surgery.
That's good news and something we kind of hit on in the 4 o'clock hour when it came out, but that is such a welcome sight because I don't think anybody, I know there are some folks that are hoping, okay, well, now Maryland, check them off the list because they don't have Io DeSumo. As somebody who wants to see some good college basketball down the stretch, you don't want to see Illinois, one of the top teams in the country, or excuse me, in the conference, being hampered by injury of their best player.
Well, speaking of more good news, it was announced earlier this week that Chris Earle is going to be taking over alongside Beth Malicki on the Channel 9 10 o'clock news, taking over for the legendary Bruce Auney. Chris is going to be with us here tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour, stopping by the studio. If you've been a longtime listener to the program, you know that he occasionally will call in. It was a little bit difficult for him to do that when he was on the morning schedule, but Chris is stopping by to let everybody know about his promotion at KCRG, and more than happy to have him sit down and maybe give his thoughts on the Kansas City Royals as spring training rolls around and his particular football team. I'm assuming he's a Chiefs guy since he's a Royals fan, but we'll find out tomorrow when he's with us. And we'll have Iowa State and UNI basketball to look back on, but also more to look ahead to with Iowa and Indiana tomorrow in what is a critical game for both teams. You just heard Zach Osterman of the Indy Star saying that it's sort of a must-win for Indiana. How much does Cordell Pemsel's loss affect Iowa tomorrow against Indiana? The Hawkeyes have a couple big road games. It all starts coming up tomorrow. Plus, we'll have another opportunity for folks to take home a $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. Buttons is already tapping that on the desk on the other side of the glass. He is ready to make somebody a winner, and he's going to have to wait about 22 hours to do so. Blackhawks are playing a back-to-back tonight. They're in Vancouver. It's going to be a late night for me. I'm actually going to stay up, and I have no idea why I'm going to watch that game to its conclusion, but that's what I've got planned tonight. What are you up to?
I have absolutely nothing planned.
It's bowling night.
The Big Ten basketball schedule was nice last night. I know there's some college basketball going on tonight, but nothing at all. I'm getting ready for tomorrow and these next couple of weeks that are going to be very interesting in the world of college basketball.
Ohio State and Rutgers on the docket tonight. Michigan is at Northwestern. We have a couple college basketball games for you on the KGYM airwaves. UNI Illinois State on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the all-new Jim OT 107.5 FM and on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, Iowa State at Oklahoma. That's going to do it for tonight. Make sure you check out KGYMradio.com. If you missed anything from today's broadcast, you can catch up on the podcast there.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown.